Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Tyler Reese, the Director of Product Management for Netrix, a software vendor that delivers effective and accessible cybersecurity to organizations of all sizes. And Mr. Reese, we thank you for joining us here today on EPN.
Nice to be here, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for coming out to be with us here today. Looking forward to learning a few things from you per your expertise. So as we know, AI is undoubtedly the number one topic in any tech room these days. Like any technology, it can be used for both good and bad. So what are the main AI-associated threats anyone should be aware of nowadays? I'm sure you have some good information on that.
Yeah, Eric. I mean, most of us are trained to spot phishing emails, but now what we're seeing is that there's just a lot more sophistication. So you may have threat actors that are not native English speakers or may not understand, the language as well. And now with these AI tools, they're able to recreate someone's, whether it's someone's written words or now even their voice with pretty easy, with a lot of ease. And so what we're running into is, we were originally training our users to spot things because it may be broken English or broken whatever language they're in. And now it's almost becoming so well in both the written and now even spoken word that it's really hard for our users to actually distinguish when something is fake. And so it's really, making it that the human becomes a weak link again from all those years of security training that we were giving them.
I really do appreciate your feedback. It's certainly informative and helpful as well. Now, if you would, give us some examples of how such deep fake attacks occur. I'm sure listeners would appreciate some details on that as well.
Yeah, so I'll give you a couple of ones that have hit the news recently that are a bit disturbing and has probably made a lot of people in the C-suite really concerned. I mean, the first one that came out a couple of months ago was when there was a finance associate that had wired $25 million to attacker's account because they were presented a deep fake video where they were actually in live in their collaboration platform of choice, where the CFO was really pressuring that person along with a bunch of other people that looked to be in the room to say that they needed to do that. And so, we don't have all of the details, but we assume that that employee then violated controls that were in place because of the fact that they felt that the CFO was actually, ordering that person to do something and then going past any controls that might be necessary. Another one that actually just hit the wire just recently was that we got a report from LastPass that an employee was targeted with deep fake audio. Now, what really, this shows an example of being able to have better awareness training, but what really tipped off this employee was that it was coming from this deep fake from coming from a person of trust, was coming through the WhatsApp platform, which we know is a platform that tends to be what scammers will move through. So instead of that coming through authorized channels in an organization, such as the collaboration platform or email or whatnot, this employee saw that it was coming from WhatsApp and immediately contacted the security team. And so LastPass actually used this as an example of how they were able to thwart this attack based on the vigilance of the employee. And then the final one, and this is a more personal, is now we're starting to see scammers actually using deepfake audio audio that they're creating that's being harvested from social media to create what I call, crisis deepfake scams, where you may be, sitting in your living room and now all of a sudden you get a phone call and somebody that sounds like a loved one that is in crisis is all of a sudden asking you to do certain things and do it in a very quick and chaotic manner. And so, we see this especially target the elderly, where it's grandchildren or other things. And so, you know, this is a more personal, so less around the B2B or B2E, but actually, you know, where we're actually starting to see the end consumer or the end user starting to be targeted with these, you know, what I call the crisis deepfakes. And so these are, you know, these ones are a lot more emotionally driven. And so, you know, of course, you're going to be able to have a more bigger impact on that person because they're going to open their wallet just to make sure that they solve the crisis that's in front of them.
Unbelievable example shared right there. It's totally unreal. And I'm sure listeners are quite concerned hearing just going by some of those examples shared there. Now, what can security teams do to mitigate the risk of such an attack?
Yeah. So, I mean, we think of security teams working in two directions. The first one is to actually mitigate attack. And then the second is to then contain it once they've spotted it to make sure that there's no harm. And so I like to think of, you know, that kind of being able to bring the vulnerability down, but then also when the threat does occur, make sure that they address it quickly. So I always say that on the first part of the job, for making sure that we mitigate the risk, you know, right now, a lot of it's just using awareness training. So teaching your employees what is artificial intelligence capable of doing now, and also reinforcing that they need to follow proper procedures, and that if there's something that's too good or too urgent, that they need to slow down. Make sure that they use approved communication channels to then be able to verify what's being asked of them. And that really kind of comes back to the reducing the impact of the attack. You know, we need to make sure that we have strong procedures, that we're actually laying out organizationally what needs to be done in a lot of these high, high value transactions that we're doing in an organization. Also making sure that we have strong identity security. So using things that like two-factor authentication and whatnot. So when we do have to actually use the tools that an organization has to verify when something's being asked of us, we can be absolutely certain that the person on the other end of a collaboration platform or an email is actually the person that they say they are, and they couldn't have been hijacked themselves. And then finally, this is more of a soft skill, but make sure that we have a culture in our organizations of being able to ask questions. You know, the worst thing that can happen is an employee feels that once somebody in position says something, that they don't have the ability to ask a question of that individual or other people. So making sure that this is also something culturally that we do and address in our organizations, because if we don't allow a individual contributor or somebody that is being asked to do something, the ability to ask a question, it can result in them just taking the orders from a deep fake threat actor without bringing it up in the organization in a safe way.
Certainly do appreciate all the insight and information shared so far. We're speaking with Mr. Tyler Reese, the Director of Product Management for Netrix, a software vendor that delivers effective and accessible cybersecurity to organizations of all sizes. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with the Cybersecurity Channel, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, it sounds like the industry's best security practice is just enough to face the AI threat. So don't we need anything much more sophisticated? What's your thought on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I use the example that, you know, we'll always continue to evolve our defense capabilities. So security is always a cat and mouse game where we have attackers that are bringing on and utilizing new technologies. And then as us as vendors or as practitioners, we're looking at new ways to be able to prevent those attackers from utilizing that technology in a nefarious way. So, you know, we are going to always have this cat and mouse game, but something to always keep in mind is that in security, we have this concept of defense in depth. And so as we look at what we're doing, we want to make sure that we're using the available defenses that we have to be able to protect ourselves against this emerging threat. And it is my opinion that as long as we continue to bring those defenses to bear, we will be able to stay up with it while the technology gets up there to maybe mitigate the threat quicker. So as we mentioned before, making sure that we have good procedures and good other security. But we want to make sure that we're bringing to bear these defenses. And that at this moment is going to be the best way to prevent this threat as again, practitioners come up with new ways of preventing these attacks, and also as security companies, come out. Again, we talk about phishing emails, and we've done really good at teaching our employees not to click links that are really weird. But not too long ago, we were doing that, and we were having problems. And so, again, we just have to be able to bring up these ways of making sure that we can help the humans identify what these threats are, and then eventually we'll have the tools that will be able to help us more. But back to your original question, it is my opinion that we do have enough in our arsenal currently to be able to protect this. It's just bringing it to bear, making sure that we're utilizing it correctly.
And forgive me for this question. So is it all about security teams taking care of these threats? Give us some input on that.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Eric. I mean, again, the humans are sometimes always the weakest link. And so really, security teams can help the organization understand what the threat is, but it's making sure that we push that down to the end user to make sure that they can identify it and either ask the question or just full on disregard it. So to your point, it's not necessarily the security team's full problem. But it's making sure that you get an organizational buy-in to be able to protect the organization from these AI threats by educating users, or again, making sure that outside of information security, we have proper procedures in all aspects of the business, whether that's finance, whether that's marketing, whether that's sales. Each of them have their own governance and procedures that are needed to run the organization securely and correctly. And so really what AI is showing in some cases is that governance isn't being followed. So yes, it is a team sport and something that all parts of the organization should be tasked with, not just the security team.
Again, Mr. Reese, we want to thank you for taking a moment to be with us here today and for joining us on behalf of NetRix. Before you go in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a final word or a tip or anything else you'd like to make mention of or bring our attention to as we conclude here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talk a lot about the gloom and doom of artificial intelligence, but really we're, kind of coming into a golden era as we look at the efficiencies that we're going to start seeing in an organization. So as much as we want to talk about the negative effects, we should all be celebrating the fact that, we're entering an age where as we, properly use artificial intelligence, we're going to become more efficient in whatever industry we're in. So, I just want to make sure to say, hey, make sure that we're looking at AI, we're utilizing it correctly. We shouldn't shun it or think that it's, this horrible thing. But just, keep in mind that as we talk about the security aspect of it, it's really just moving back to those basic principles, that defense in depth. And that's what's going to get us through this, what seems to be chaotic period that we're in, as we move to something that's more structured and we learn to manage these threats in a more systematic way.
Well, I have no doubt listeners would like to know where they could get more information online on NetRix and how they could be in touch. Where's the best place to do so?
Yeah, just like everyone else, our website, www.netrix.com. You'll see the variety of security tools we have out there. And if you're interested, you can, schedule some time with one of our consultants, and we'd love to, share what we can do to help make your organization safe, whether it's data, infrastructure, or identity.
Again, we really do appreciate what you do in this space. Again, listeners, it is netrix.com. You can find this link and other information within the show notes of this broadcast as well for your convenience. Mr. Reese, all the best. And again, we thank you for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yep. Thank you, Eric.
Our pleasure. Again, we've been speaking with Tyler Reese, the Director of Product Management for Netrix, a software vendor that delivers effective and accessible cybersecurity to organizations of all sizes. And again, for all the details, visit netrix.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.